This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness.
In this episode, I speak with Peter Strohkorb, founder and CEO of Peter Strohkorb Consulting and author of The One Team Method. Peter focuses on aligning sales, marketing, and customer experience with the way customers want to buy to make companies a customer magnet. In our conversation, we discussed Peter's epiphany during his corporate days about the way sales and marketing interacted with each other, the alignment test that shows you how well your sales and marketing teams are truly collaborating, what happened in the 90s that caused today's current state of misalignment, and who in the company should own alignment between sales and marketing. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Peter, thank you for joining the podcast today.
It's my pleasure being here, Jeff.
Great to have you. So before we get started, I want you to share with our audience a little bit about you and then specifically how you've come to do this work around sales and marketing alignment.
All right. Well, look, I spent more than 15 years in the corporate world working for small organizations like Sony, Canon, 3M, and CSC. And I was working in both sales and in marketing from time to time in senior management roles there. And it's always struck me in all those years how the sales team and the marketing team talk more about each other than to each other, and how detrimental that is really for sales results and how damaging it is for the culture of the organization and people actually feeling comfortable and wanting to be there and wanting to work in the place. So there was a lot of finger pointing going on. You know, you guys are not following up our sales leads. Your sales leads suck, and you're not good. They're not good enough. They're not worth following up. So there's really this thing that Philip Kotler and Neil Reckham more than 10 years ago described as the war between sales and marketing. And so I decided a few years ago to investigate this further because it was such a common problem and so damaging to organizations internally and also externally in terms of their customer experience. And to my surprise, in all the research I undertook, I didn't find a proper cure for this. I found that most organizations were relying on the CEO saying, guys, just work it out. But there is no formal structured process to bring the two parts of that organization together. So I then wrote a book about my research and I devised a methodology called the One Team Method, which, as the name implies, is meant to create one team, one single team between sales and marketing that collaborates effectively. And that's how I got into it.
Yeah. So what's interesting about the work that you referenced is that it has been over a decade and little to nothing has changed in this combative, and I would even say sometimes toxic relationship between sales and marketing. What do you say to organizations or CEOs or executives that say, we are aligned, we're okay?
I say, wake up and smell the coffee, you know. Look, the reality is that if you're the CEO and your head of sales and your head of marketing report to you, are they going to tell you that they're not aligned? Seriously? You know?
Yeah.
But if you look at the middle management or even at the frontline sales and marketing people, they actually don't talk to each other, or even worse, they may hate each other, you know? But you as the CEO don't get to see that because your own people that report to you are shielding that from you. So if you even have a hint that there may be something going on that's holding you guys back and holding your results back, you really owe it to yourself to take a closer look at it and get to the real truth.
So let's dive into that. So you identified, yeah, there's something going on. People are in denial or shielding it from the CEO. Is there a checklist that CEO can use or a rubric to say, okay, if I'm aligned, I score 75 or more? What kind of empirical tool can we use to figure out, are we really aligned or not?
Yes. Okay. So I have, I call the collaboration between sales and marketing, I call it smarketing. And there is a test, but I tell you why it's not a good idea to give the test to the head of sales and head of marketing. And that is simply because they're going to say, yeah, everything's fine here. Tick all the boxes. We don't need any help. Right? The test becomes really interesting if you give it to the people at the lower end of the ladder, you know, the seniority ladder, and you give it to them, you give it to the salespeople separately from the marketing people, and then you compare the scores. So I've got a marketing test that just asks you maybe a dozen questions and then gives you a score out of those dozen questions. And it's not really designed to be anything other than a finger on the pulse, a wet finger in the air, you know, a bit of an indicator, and also a bit of a discussion starter gets you away from the blame game, you know, whose fault is it, and starts talking about how would it be if we actually did work together and what would it look like. You know, so you're starting a more constructive dialogue now and you're saying, well, actually, if the salespeople had influence on the marketing campaigns, maybe that would actually make better marketing campaigns, you know, or why don't we have a central repository where the marketing people can put their stuff and the salespeople can find everything conveniently and quickly, you know, not some shared folder where you dump all the stuff in and nobody can find anything because there's too much in there, you know. So it's simple questions like that that really start a dialogue between the sales and the marketing teams, but don't start at the top, you know. I say to CEOs that sent me to their sales and marketing heads, if you were running a restaurant and I'm a customer and I tell you your food is bad, would you send me to the chef?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Right? Because they're just going to be in denial and say, no, this guy is dreaming, you know, what would he know? You know, it's my restaurant. And it's the same with sales and marketing alignment. You really got to believe that if you want to make progress, that you start at the top, you decide that you want to make the difference, but it's actually something that pervades the entire organization from the head of sales, the head of marketing, down to the lowest ranked sales rep.
So we've talked about the fact that I would agree, we identified that we're not aligned, there was a misalignment issue. Most people are probably going to go and say, let's find a new B2B tech solution, throw that in the stack, and then that'll fix it. As we've talked previously, it's not a tech issue, it's not a product issue, it's not a process issue. Then what that leaves is it's a people issue, right? And so then the conversation goes to, well, we're really not talking about necessarily sales and marketing alignment, but we're talking about culture transformation. So tell me from your perspective, when you go a little bit higher up in what this really is about, how you have that conversation.
Yeah, look, I give you an example. I had this, the CEO of a local subsidiary of a multinational organization actually get in touch with me. And one of the first things he said to me is, we have a trust problem between our sales and marketing. So he called it a trust problem. Right? And I thought that's such an excellent way of describing it, because they didn't trust each other. They talked more about each other than to each other. And they didn't really want to engage with them in a process that would bring them together because they didn't trust each other, right? So you're absolutely right. In organizations where you have that, it is actually a people matter first and foremost, which then materializes as a communication problem, which then exacerbates the problem because they're not talking to each other, so they're not helping each other. Now, flip that on its head and say, what could it look like? Well, if my salespeople brought me their experiences back from the coalface, from the front line, back to marketing, then marketing could do a much better job of talking the customer's language and talking about things that interest them, and would be able to provide better campaigns, better marketing collateral, maybe a fresher website for the salespeople to work with to make more sales. And equally, marketing could do market research and find out what the big trends are in the industries and then feed that back to the salespeople so they can have a more in-depth and better informed conversation with their customers that marketing really supports. So if we can get the organization to a point where marketing supports sales and sales supports marketing, everybody wins. Marketing wins, sales wins, and the customer wins as well.
So when I hear you say the word trust, the word incentives comes to mind. People are incentivized to do certain behaviors, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about, you know, how sales and marketing people are incentivized, and is the current state of that incentivization, does it make sense in the alignment framework?
No, it doesn't. And it's quite clear how we got to this point. you know, and it's the fault of the consultants, believe it or not. So in the 1990s, we had management theory coming out saying that we needed to establish centers of excellence, right, within organizations. And that made total sense, because if we wanted to be good at everything, we had to measure everything and we had to manage it properly. And so we created these centers of excellence. But unfortunately, what happened was that we created a center of excellence for salespeople and a center of excellence for marketing. Then we gave them each a head to manage the center of excellence. And what happened was that the people at the top of those silos were still talking to each other, but the people underneath stopped talking to each other and stopped communicating and stopped collaborating. And so these silos then grew, and they grew ever further apart in that process as well. And now we're in a situation where we've got these independent silos that are not really collaborating, and we need to really break down the silo structures and create multidisciplinary teams that really have a common goal. And so giving the marketing center of excellence separate KPIs from the center of excellence for sales doesn't make any sense at all. It's just going to drive them apart and make them think independently from each other, when really they should be working together. So then you might ask, okay, what is that common denominator that brings them together? And what incentive should there be around sales and marketing working together towards more sales, towards achieving the targets? And the lowest common denominator is, drum roll, the customer. So if you can focus both teams around customer experience and customer centricity, and this may be a bit controversial, but give them a shared revenue target, and it is doable, I can give you some examples on that, then it will basically, having the same goal and having the same metric, will actually drive them together just simply because they share the same goal and the same metric.
Yeah,
it's not, I agree. It's not magic. It's not rocket science. Just stop treating them as separate silos.
And I would also add that from a data integrity standpoint, we have to also make sure that sales and marketing are looking at the same data set. Because what I find is that marketing is looking at one set of numbers, sales is looking at another set of numbers. And then when they try to come together and have shared goal or shared dashboard, they're not even talking the same language because the numbers are skewed or off or different. And so I think to your point about moving toward that shared goal standpoint is we have to make sure that the data is clean and it's good.
Well, that's kind of axiomatic, really, that you need to have clean data to make informed decisions. But what we're talking about here is not so much the data in say, the CRM or your MarTech stack. What we're talking about is giving them a common goal to work towards that makes them want to work together because they've got the same goal.
Your thoughts on changing variable compensation for marketing leaders? What are your thoughts?
I think it's always good to measure something that people actually have influence over. So if I'm measured by something that I can't control, I perceive that as being unfair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got to be careful with what you measure and how you measure it. But I'll give you an example in another organization that I was working with.
Okay.
They actually gave the sales team and the marketing team sales targets. But in this organization, they made them compete with each other. So what happened was that any sales that came through the website were attributed to marketing, and any sales that came through direct contact was attributed to sales, right? And then they made them compete with each other and gain I gamified the arrangement, and that was working for a while, until the pressure went on to both teams to do more, right? And then some undesirable behavior started emerging. So, for example, the sales reps would say to somebody on the phone, they said, look, I'll just go to the website and buy it from there. And they'd say, no, the website's down. I can help you just buy it right here from me right now, right? Whereas the marketing team would say, well, no, don't go talk to the sales if we can do a better job here. So that it actually had an impact on the customer and the perception of service by the people on the customer that created a negative sentiment with the customers and actually destroyed value. And the CEO decided that that wasn't going to work much longer, and she actually wanted to get the sales and marketing teams to work together again. But because they had been working in competition with each other for such a long time, it was a huge effort. And we managed to do it, but in the end, some of the people didn't make the transition, and they're no longer with the organization.
Okay. Right?
So that's how far it can go when you actually try to break the traditional arrangement and go to a new paradigm. But it is worth doing.
Interesting. So in the little bit of the time we have left, I always like to ask people, consultants and folks that have a viewpoint of different industries. In your opinion, are there any industries that are doing alignment well or are set up for success more than others? Just to kind of help us get an idea of who we can maybe look for as a guiding light for who's leading the way to a better aligned sales and marketing teams.
Okay. So generally speaking, it's not a vertical market matter. It's actually a people matter, and it's the same people in just different organizations. But there's one industry where I've actually seen the collaboration work pretty well, and it's only because of the legislative framework that they operate under, and that's the pharmaceutical industry. Because they're not, at least in this country, that they're not allowed to advertise and they're not allowed to give incentives any longer, they actually have to think outside the box and come up with new ideas. And what they're doing now is that they used to have multiple sales reps from the same organization call on the same doctors to sell them different types of medication, right? So there might be somebody for blood pressure reduction medicine and another one for a new antibiotic or something, right? But this doctor would see multiple reps from the same organization all trying to sell them different things. And it was just really disruptive to the GP, to the doctor, and they didn't like it. So then they thought, okay, we'll educate them online, and we create a lot of content that they can read after us. But it just never happened. You know, the doctors just went home and to their families, and they didn't really feel like looking up more stuff online. What's now happened is that they actually, the pharmaceutical companies are actually now hiring ex-GPs. Ex-medicos to go into the practices of the doctors and speak to them at a peer level. Yeah. So you know, hello colleague, you know, may I talk to you about this latest innovation and that we have in this heart disease area, you know, blah 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 blah. And they would not actually be selling. They would just be talking about the latest trends and the latest technologies and the latest medication that's coming out. And then when the doctor says, okay, well, I'm interested in trying this out, then they put them onto a sales rep. So very deliberately, they're thought leaders, but they're not salespeople, right? And that maintains their status as an expert in their particular field who's a peer to the doctor that they can talk to at equal level, and that's how they get the traction now, right? But in order to do that, these ex-GPs that are now thought leaders – have to be highly informed about the latest trends and what's involved, what's occurring in the industry. And that's clearly a role that marketing can fulfill for them, right? And then the sales reps come in and transact. And that's really a nice example of how sales and marketing can work together towards a common goal and achieve significant results for an organization.
Interesting. Well, I will ask our final question, Jess. As you talk to executives in the C-suite that are convinced that they need to take on a sales and marketing alignment effort for the organization, what is the one thing or theme that you would like them to keep top of mind as they go along this journey with the organization?
That they shouldn't make any assumptions. That they should deal with the facts. They should make sure that they have facts. And they probably don't want to take everything that they're being told as gospel. That they're being told by their people as gospel. It's best really if they bring in somebody independent from outside, get them to do a bit of an assessment, and then find out what's really cooking, and then make a decision based on that. And I'll give you another example. So this is the I worked with the CEO of a $500 million electricity company here in Australia. We went and did an independent assessment. His words were, sitting in his boardroom, he was saying, oh, my God, I had no idea how bad it is. Had I known, I would have done something about it sooner. And then he said something very significant. He said, "This is my fault. I've let this happen. The buck stops with me. We're going to do something about it." You know, it could have easily gone the other way, where they would have said, "No, that's all rubbish. You're dreaming, and those figures can't be right. And get out of my office." But he took it on the chin, and he decided to do something about it. And within 6 months, we turned his organization around to the point they had their best sales month ever. 6 months after we started our intervention. So there are real results. The real results are achievable in these organizations if only you take the courage to have a look under the bonnet and not trust what your sales and marketing people are telling you, that everything's okay.
Nice. Well, Peter, thank you so much for your insight and taking time with us to talk about this topic today. I really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode, where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.